Welcome to the podcast for Christ Community Church in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. This is the message given on Sunday morning, October 23rd, by Stephen Gooch and Lee Younger.
Tom is gone, so it's going to take two men to do the job of a little brother that's over in Germany. But we're talking about this morning, how do you resist when you want to resist the teachings of Jesus? I'll say it again, because when I told my brother and my sister-in-law what I was speaking on, they're like, huh? How do you resist resisting the teachings of Jesus? Okay, so when you want to follow the teachings of Jesus, there's a couple of reasons that are high way up on the list. The first one is that you want to glorify God, because you love him. But the most important one, high above everything, is Jesus loves you no matter what. And you will find that when you stop and think about that and hold on to it, that that's the thing that will make you want to resisting the teachings of Jesus. But I wanted to talk about a third one. It's way down on the list. But they asked me to teach what is me, keeps me from resisting. And that is this: thinking about the great and awesome possibilities. And we'll give you a couple examples. First one is, back in 2002, there was a young man named, I don't know if I should say this out in public, but his name was Ryan Adams. And he was playing at the Ryman Auditorium. And it was a packed house, a lot of people like him. And there was a guy that was over in the crowd, and he would take requests. And this guy kept saying, "Sing Summer of 69, every time he'd take a request. And of course, some of you know, Bryan Adams sang that song. So after several requests, in the middle of everything, he said, "Kick up the house lights." And so they did. And he said, "Who keeps asking that?" And everybody went. And he said, "Could you come up here, please?" And so he did. And Ryan took out his wallet and gave him the price of the ticket and told him, "Get the out of here." Can you imagine how that guy felt? Can you imagine how that changed the environment in the room? That was 2002. It's still on the web. Everything that he did in that microsecond, all the little evil words that were said about him, have gone out there for 15 years. And like Lee said, what if you could have stopped when that guy came up and he handed his money? What if you could have put your arm around and said, "Hey, let's think about this. How do you want to do this? Why don't you hand him his money and say, 'I'm sorry you didn't get to see the guy you wanted to see. Let's sing the song together.'" Can you imagine how that would have changed everything? That's what I'm talking about. The great possibilities. But you see how bad that was wrong. I'm going to give you another example. The second one is, there was a young couple. They were married, and she had an affair, and they got a divorce. And after a little while, the husband got remarried to a godly woman. And not too long after that, the former wife started backbiting her and talking about her, being mean, leaving messages. The great possibilities. What would you have done if you were her? Would you have wanted to get even? Would you have wanted to do the exact same things that she did? Let me tell you what she did. She called her on the phone and reached out for her and said, "I love you. Can we have coffee?" So they went and had coffee. It was super uncomfortable the first time. But she kept on loving her. Eventually, the former wife came to the knowledge and salvation in Christ Jesus. I know my talk is short, but when you get to that place where you have a decision to make, you need to stop and think of the great and awesome possibilities. There are both negative and it can get ugly. But then there are those that are the positive, where you change a life, not for the moment, but for an eternity. That's my question to you today. Which one do you want to do? And I know that there's even four or five people in here who have been loving that very person that stabbed them in the back and is still loving them hard, and all they do is to continue to stab them in the back. Think of the great and awesome possibilities. Amen.
You know, when you buy a ticket to a baseball game, Major League Baseball game, and that mug is tied at the end of nine, and so we go into extra innings, and I love when the announcers say, "It's free baseball. We didn't even pay for this. We just get extra baseball." We just had enough word right there, okay? And so the rest of this is just free baseball, okay? I really should not add any. We should probably just go home. And a couple people are going, "Let's do it. Let's just go home." I got a couple things. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, how different my story had been if I had heard that word at age 15. I've never thought about that. How different things would have been if I had heard that at 22. Heard it now. Help us to think about the great possibilities. Up and down. We're grateful for that word. And I'm praying that as we continue to ask some questions, that you would open up our hearts to receive what you have for us. We love you and we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, would you, if you have a Bible and you like to follow along, you don't have to. I'm going to read stuff, but I'm going to be in the book of John in chapter 13. If you'd like to do that, if you'd like to follow along. Because see, the thing for me is, for those of you who've been with us for a while, we've been looking at the teachings of Jesus for a long time. Tom's been talking about the teachings of Jesus. So we just wanted to kind of hit pause and say, well, what about when you super don't want to follow the teachings of Jesus? Like, there's a clear decision in front of you, and it's like, this is what Jesus wants for me, and here's this other thing, and I super want the other thing. I don't want to do the thing. It's clear in my mind. There's no confusion about it. I know this is what Jesus wants for me, and I super want to do the other thing. What do you do in that moment? And I don't know about for you, but I know that for me, that moment happens so fast. It's just such a blink, and it feels like I've already done it. I've already done the thing. And most of the time, it's that way. Most of the time, I've already done the stupid thing. I'm already reaping the benefits of the great and awesome possibilities in the negative. That too often has been my story. And I feel like it just happens so quickly. I don't even know what happened. And it's in moments like that that I wish that I wish that in looking at it, we could like slow the whole thing down. Like I love when you're watching sports and they have that super slow-mo, high-def camera. That is so cool. When you watch, you don't just watch the play that just happened in slow-mo. You watch it in slow-mo and high-def, and it's like thousands of frames per second. It's such a cool thing. Like yesterday, my dad and I and Jack were, and we were in Michigan Stadium in Ann Arbor, and the, you know, Michigan is just beating Illinois down, right? And which is exactly what we went to go see. People are like, well, I hope it's a good game. And I'm like, why? Why does anybody hope it's a good game? It's like, well, you want to see a good game. No, I want to see an absolute bloodbath. That's what I want to see. The team that I like, I want them to stand on their neck for 60 minutes. That's the only thing that I don't want my blood pressure to rise and, well, we pulled it out. I want them to smack them in the mouth the whole time. And that's the, and so they're doing that, right? They're smacking them in the mouth. And then they come out for the second half, and Michigan's first drive of the second half, they're driving the ball down the field, and here they go, and Michigan's quarterback, Wilton Spate, he drops back, throws this beautiful pass to this wide receiver, Amara Darbo, and it's right on the money in the corner of the end zone. Dude's got his hands up, and the Illinois defensive back just smacks his hands down, and then the ball like touches his fingers as his hands are being smacked down. And 111,000 people and change were like, what? We are all on our feet like, you have got to be kidding me. And we were in the end zone where it happened. So I'm just like right there, just looking at this mug go down. And we're all super upset and no flag. And we're like, I know you didn't not throw that flag. And so we're all just sitting there like, wait, just wait, just wait. Because I got two huge jumbotrons and we know we're going to get to watch the super slow-mo camera. And there it goes, right there on the camera. The ball's in the air. He smacks his arms, and then the ball comes down. And you never heard 111,000 people so upset about a moment. And we were right, by the way. And that's how you know. Or like when you're watching a Major League Baseball game, right? And a guy just smacks a home run. And they go back and they show this super slowed down thing. And it's like the moment when he hits the ball. And baseball fans, you know what I'm talking about. Because this, the ball like changes shape. And then a solid wood bat looks like it's made out of marshmallow. So it's just like wobbling, and it's the coolest thing ever. And you're just watching that moment in the super slow-mo. And I'm like, when it comes to temptation, I need that. I need to slow this whole thing down and figure out what's going on inside me. What's going on inside this person who's trying to make this decision? Do I follow or not? And, of course, in the scriptures, they didn't have cameras, much less super slow-mo, high-def cameras. But in John chapter 13, we have this moment. We have this moment where a guy has a choice. He has a choice to follow Jesus or not. And it's one of the most famous moments of temptation in the whole book. And the way John tells it, it's like he's given us a super slow-mo camera. So it's John chapter 13. This is the Last Supper. This is Jesus' last time to hang out with his guys before he goes to the cross this evening. The sun is already on its way down. And by the way, it's already a tense dinner before Jesus even shows up. You guys remember what happened? The disciples are arguing on the way there about who's the greatest. This was like their favorite fight, which is like, have you ever hung out with any dudes? This is all we do. Well, the SEC's the greatest. The ACC's the greatest. The Big Ten's the greatest. That's all we ever do. And that's what they were doing way before they had the SEC or anything like that. I'm the greatest. And they get there. Before they ever get there, they're arguing. They're so upset about this that they don't do a common courtesy, which is, when I walk through the door, somebody washes my feet, and then when I'm done, I turn around and wash the feet of the dude behind me. That's just what they did, because they just had sandals and nobody had Jordans or anything like that yet. And so that's the way that we go into the room. And nobody did it because everybody's upset. So we're already tense at this dinner. Jesus walks into the room and he knows what's going on. He feels the tension. These guys are having the same old stupid fight over and over again. And so Jesus turns up the awkward to 11 and just takes off his clothes. Is that what y'all are going to do? Watch this. Boom. The brother takes his clothes off. Now, when you're reading through this in John 13, it might say like he removed his outer garment. That is not what the scripture says. It says the brother took his clothes off. And then he grabbed a towel and wrapped it around his waist. And now Jesus is dressed like a slave. Now this has become extremely tense, extremely awkward. He washes everybody's feet. Then he takes off the towel, naked again, puts on his clothes, right? Sits down to dinner. Who's hungry? You know? And it's like, this is the weirdest meal we've ever had, okay? And we've had some doozies, right? You know, I mean, they're right there, like in all four Gospels. And so here we are in the middle of this moment, and you guys have all been at those really awkward, really tense dinners where, like, nobody's talking. And, like, every bowl that scrapes across the table is, like, so loud. And you can hear everybody chewing. And everybody's just hoping somebody break the ice. Like, somebody say something funny. Tell me about something. I'll laugh at anything right now. Like, let's just get out of this awkwardness. Jesus clears his throat, and all the guys are like, okay, here it comes. Jesus is going to break the ice. And he says, one of you will betray me. And everybody's like, dude, the other way. You're supposed to go. One of you will betray me. And by the way, he says, it was foretold in Psalm chapter 41, verse 9. The one that shares my bread is going to turn his heel against me. So it's always been going to happen for 1,000 years, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen tonight. And all the guys, John tells us, all the guys are just like, they're dumbstruck. Look at this. If you've got John 13 open, look at verse 22. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, that's the dude that wrote this, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. So leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, now, by the way, pause. If it's me, I'm saying, mind your own business, dude. Make sure it's not you, okay? I'm not Jesus. Jesus answered, verse 26, it is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish, which sounds like some kind of like espionage, is like a Jason Bourne, like Ocean's 11 type of thing. We're going to break that down in a second. Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. You guys know this. And as soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. See how John is slowing this down for us? Slow motion camera. As soon as he took the bread, Satan enters into him. So Jesus told him, what you're about to do, do quickly. No one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had the charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to go buy what was needed for the festival or give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. That's an amazing moment. And it was night. So all the guys are like, who's it going to be? Is he talking to me? In fact, in the book of Matthew, in this moment in the book of Matthew, all the guys look at Jesus and they're like, is it me? Is it me? Hey, dude, is it me? And Peter's like, ask him which one it is. And so John leans over, who is it? And Jesus says, I'm going to take this piece of bread and I'm going to dip it in this dish. The way that they ate was that they had like a communal bowl of this kind of like stew, chili kind of sauce, brothy stuff. It's like a thick soup. Like, and it sounds amazing. And what they would do is take bread and they would like dip it in like chips and salsa. You just dip it in there and then take it on back home and eat it like chips and salsa. It's pretty awesome. Like, sounds great. And what they would just, that's the way they ate this meal. And so Jesus says, I'm going to take this piece of bread. I'm going to dip it in this dish. And then instead of shoving it in my own face, I'm going to give it to somebody else. And that's the dude. Now, that is a very interesting moment because this is kind of odd for us because we don't live in this culture. But for them, they would take this piece of bread and eat what they dipped out. But if you took a piece of bread and you dipped it in this communal dish and then you handed it to somebody at the table, this was a big deal. It was like a ceremonial, like, rite of honor and respect. It was like as if Jesus was to stand up from the table with his wine glass and clink it with his fork and say, our toast. I'd like to propose a toast. And everybody else is like, all the talking stops. Everybody else raises their glass. And then Jesus makes eye contact with the dude he's going to toast, to Judas. And everybody else says, to Judas. And then he gives a little speech or something. That would be, in our culture, that's what this moment is like. And so he says to John, I'm going to dip this bread in the dish, and then I'm going to hand it to the one that's going to betray me. And John's like, whoa. You're going to do that to the guy that's going to betray? You're going to toast the dude that's going to betray you? Not only that, like, you've already predicted this is going to happen. You say you know who it's going to be. And that it was written in the scriptures 1,000 years ago. Like, it was always going to happen. And that dude, you're not going to kick him out of the room. You're going to toast this dude? What is going on? Why would Jesus, and this is my question while we've got the slow motion camera on. Why would Jesus toast the dude that's going to betray him? Now, one question that's kind of weird as we're looking at this is we're trying to figure out how not to resist resisting Jesus. We're trying to figure out how to do a moment of temptation well. And obviously, this dude does not do it. We know. We know what he's going to do. Psalm 41 knew what he was going to do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. And so why in the world would you do something in a foregone conclusion? Why would you toast the dude that's going to betray you? Now, we're going to enter into a little bit of speculation here because I don't really know. I got to be honest with you. But I think I know. And the reason I think I know is because I feel like I've been at this table. I feel like I've been at this very table where I've got a moment in front of me. And I can see clearly that Jesus' way is this way. And the way that I super want to go is this other way. And yet all of a sudden there's a piece of bread in my face. You see, Jesus dips this bread in this bowl and then makes eye contact with this brother, as almost as if to say, hey, dude, it's me. Is this really what's going to happen? He's reaching out to him. And you're like, why are you reaching out to him? You know what's going to happen. You know this is not going to turn around. Why would you reach out? I don't know, except that I know he does that to me. And I don't know if you've been there before. We're in the middle of a crowded room with a clear choice in front of you. All of a sudden, there's a little voice tugging at the back of your heart saying, hey, dude, it's me, bud. Is this really the way this is about to go down? Hey, it's just us. Right now, it's you and me. I don't know what Judas's calculus was. We know he takes the bread. And I promise you he averted his eyes. And that's the moment. Satan enters him. Jesus says, just do it, dude. Just let's get this over with. He leaves the room. It's night. The other guys don't even know what's going on. They're having a private conversation that nobody else understands. And I feel like I know that moment too. I'm in the middle of this moment and all of a sudden I'm having a private conversation with Jesus that nobody else knows is going on. And I'm like, Jesus, I'm averting my eyes. I'm turning down the volume. I'm telling him. And I've talked to folks who said in that moment, I feel like I just don't want to talk to you right now. Does anybody know what that feels like? I just don't want to have this conversation with you right now. There's something I've got to do. Or there's something I want to do, or there's something I'm going to do. And my question for Jesus is, if you know I'm going to do it, why are you standing up from your seat and clinking your glass? Why do you look at me like that? Why would you reach out to me when you know what I'm going to do? And I think the answer is that we have a fundamental misunderstanding about what the point of Christianity is. I think every single one of us grows up feeling, and I know I did, maybe I'm the only one in the room, but I think most of us do. We have a fundamental misunderstanding. We think that the point of this whole thing is to make you sin less. Anybody grow up feeling that way? Am I the only dude in this place? The whole point of this Christian thing is so that I can get to a place where I'm sinning less. This is a behavior modification system that we have all signed on with, and there's a lot of cool songs, and there's a building that we go, and this is about behavior modification. It's just a little bit flowery version of B.F. Skinner, which I studied in college. Thank you, some of you, for getting that joke. Here's the thing. Jesus gave his life to rescue us. And if he wanted to make us sinless in the moment that we believed in Jesus, he could have done it. He's going to do it when we die. That whole switch is going to flip. I think he's after something else. And I think the point of this is something else. I think the reason that Jesus toasted Judas in front of all of his guys, looking this dude in the eye, chips and salsa in hand, is because it's not about the behavior, man. It's about you and me. It's about this friendship. It's about this relationship. I did this because I love you. And is this really the way this is going to go down? I love you, man. Hey, do we have something right now? Will you keep me on the line? Will you not hang up on me right now? Knowing that Judas was going to hang up on him. Knowing the way this was going to go down. And it's like, well, why would he do that? I don't know, but I promise you he does it to me. And he does it to me in times when he knows I'm going to walk away. And I've done it over and over again. I've taken the chip out of his hand, smashed it in my mouth, and walked out of that room. I've done it. I know that he's reaching out to me. And then every now and then, I don't. Every now and then, I look him in the eye, and I don't change the channel, and I don't turn the volume down, and I say, you know what? I don't want to do this. Or I super do want to do this, but I'm not going to do this right now. And I don't think that moment of like victory over sin is just like, I don't think it's even about the victory over sin. And those of you who know what both feels like, I think we all know what both moments feel like. It's not that you feel so awesome because you've overcome sin. It's because what you have with Jesus in that moment is so delicious. It's so rich. It's so deep. It's so unbelievable. You wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. He's reaching out because it's not about behavior. He died for our sin. He's paid for all of it. He's going to get us there, y'all. That's a promise. He's reaching out because This was always about relationship. It was always about your friendship with Jesus. It was always about him looking you in the eye and saying, don't look away, just stay right here. Would you stay right here? And even if you don't, I'm gonna be back next time, baby. I'm gonna be back next time. And I'm gonna put this same chip in this same bowl and I'm gonna hand it to you. You wanna know why? Because I'm crazy about you and I love what we have and we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. How do you resist? Keep him on the line. Don't turn down the volume. Don't push him out. You're going to fall. He knows it. You're going to fall again and again. You're going to screw up. You're going to mess this up. There's no use in pretending that you won't, but there's something sweeter out there. He loves you. He's looking you in the eye. He's calling our name. And it feels good to be his, doesn't it? Let's pray. Jesus, I can't believe you sometimes. I can't believe you would toast your betrayer, except that you do it to me. You would toast me. Times when you know I'm going to fall apart, you know I'm going to do it again. I love that about you. I can't believe you keep coming after us. I'm praying that you would give us a heart for the relationship that you want for us, more and more. I pray that you would give us a vision for the unbelievable possibility of resisting, of going with you. I'm praying that you would continue to change us, not because this is about behavior modification, not because we're racking up points, not because the goal is to become sinless, but because we're so weak and needy, and we're our best selves when we're clinging on to you, eyes locked in. Keeping the line open, not hanging up. Would you remind us? Would you deepen it? Help us to keep you on the line. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, you came for me. You paid for me. You set me free to make me yours. And I long for you. You can